The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Bill Myers Show.
13 after 7, emails of the day, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com and Dr. Steve Nelson. It's right next to the new Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. And they take pride in their same-day crowns made in-office, crafted at their local lab. They could just do it while you wait. It takes like maybe a half hour. Get the tooth crown down and prepped, and in most cases, gosh, it can get you on your way right away. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. John Ball says, "Hey, Bill, and so it begins. I've been saying this since early last year. I'm sure you saw this over the weekend. Link below. It's going to cause a temporary blow-up." And this is the one, the story that a Washington Post columnist said, "Step aside for the good of the country, Vice President Harris. For the good of the country, step aside, step aside." And then John is saying it's going to cause a temporary blow-up, but then they keep Captain Joe and they insert Greasy Gavin. Joe does the Weekend at Bernie's thing for a while, and then we have President Newsom for 11 years. We would be so totally screwed. If you'd like to wager, you know how to find me. Bwahaha. All right, John. Hey, I appreciate your writing, okay? Hans Albuquerque also saying this morning, "Bill, Idaho is considering a bill curtailing public funds, also known as government insurance and Medicaid, for the tranny games. It showcases the gross immorality policies of these public insurance behemoths. We've all been told many times in our health insurance lives, no, no, no coverage for this and that. But we need a damn law for the transgender games. You can't get chiropractic coverage, but you can get coverage for your tool being chopped off. They had a set. They would just say no to tranny coverage, but it's obvious that theirs have been removed prior. So now a law has to come to the rescue of virtue." There's something, Hans, why don't you tell me what you really think? I wish you wouldn't. I'm just kidding you. You know. Yeah, it's there is a lot of tiptoeing around that, isn't there? For sure. It's quarter after 7. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. I'll go back to the phones. It's open phones. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Bill, Bob Hayworth calling back on another line.
Bob, how the heck are you doing this morning? What's on your mind, huh?
Doing great. Well, the other day you were talking about the roundabout over by Rogue X.
Yes, the Rogue X, and it's kind of weird because it's sort of a straight through, but yet what are you supposed to put a right turn on to get out of it? Right.
Well, there's no way. You go through the dang thing so fast. Part of the problem, I guess, is the small footprint of that roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you enough time to analyze who's coming from where. The other thing that I've really been experiencing a lot is people going west on Ross Andley and heading on west. If there's a car coming in from Kingswood, from the subdivision there,
mm-hmm.
people tend to think that they have the right of way there. Well, that's not the way a roundabout works.
Oh yeah, because they're thinking they're coming from the right, and so the right would normally have right of way, right?
Yeah, but okay. That's not the way a roundabout works, and nobody has figured that out yet.
Yeah.
So,
well, I find it interesting that in spite of everything they're doing, every now and then you'll see a pair of tire tracks that are going straight through the roundabout instead of around it. Have you noticed that? You'll see them.
I see it all the time.
People yeah.
just drive over that thing. And it's just so stupid. I don't know why they didn't put either a four-way stop or at least a two-way stop between Kingswood and Rogue X.
Yeah, well, they didn't want Rogue X having to, well, they were trying to make traffic easier for Rogue X to get out of there. But yeah, it's not the best use of a roundabout. And I'll agree with you wholeheartedly, okay, on that.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll wait and see how many crashes we get there.
All right. We'll do. But how many tickets once the city of Medford figures out, okay, if they're gonna screw us on the red light cameras, we're gonna go out and start handing out tickets at the roundabouts, okay? That'll be the next thing.
I guess they could do that. By the way, speaking of tickets, yesterday I drank so much green beer that I had to take a bus home. And I've never driven a bus before.
Hey, there's your dad joke.
See you later.
There's your dad joke. Thanks. Thanks, Bob. Bob Hayworth. It's 18 after 7, 770-563-3770-KMED. All right. Bob Shan wrote me another email here. I just had this in front of me. I forgot about this one the other week because we were talking about Wild Turkey Surprise, right? And he says, "Hey, Bill, this is the best wild turkey recipe. and I'm sure Mr. Outdoors will have something to say about this. Nail turkey to the board, soak in wine 48 hours, bake turkey on the board in the oven 350 degrees for 3 hours, remove from oven, throw away the turkey, and eat the board. Not a fan of the wild turkey, huh? I love that, though, Bob. Thanks for the call and the email, BillandBillMeyerShow.com.
Well, Dad, this is not a shocker, so you don't have to sit down for this one.
Hit me.
Father and Son Jewelry has won Best in Southern Oregon.
How many years in a row has it been?
15? I've sort of lost count.
Well, don't let it go to your head. We built our reputation on what we do today, not yesterday.
I agree. Becca, you look like you have something to say.
Just want to say thank you, Southern Oregon, for voting your Father and Son Jewelry best again. We've been your favorite since I can remember.
As the Montana Roofing Crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like 3-0.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition. Composite.
Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding, destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I gotta keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
One of the most fun books that I've been reading lately, because I read so many serious ones, politics and big foreign intrigue and spy novels and everything else. And then I picked up a copy of Jeff Margolis, and we're live in five. And what an experience. Jeff Margolis is an Emmy Award winner, one of the most successful live television event and variety special directors of all time. Jeff, welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's nice to meet you, Bill.
Nice meeting you, too. And the stories that you are bringing in Live at 5, in fact, I was even using your Uncle Monty's theme. Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal. In fact, if it wasn't for Let's Make a Deal, you probably wouldn't have had your first big break, at least for a while, right? Tell me a little bit about that. And when you got involved in this, because you were obsessed with television right from being a little kid, right? Tell us your story there.
I was obsessed. My dad was in the electronics business. When I was 5 years old, he brought home this little wooden box with a piece of glass on the front of it, and he plugged it into the wall, and there were people inside that box. And I was blown away. I couldn't figure it out. How did they get in there? How did they get out? Why were they so small? Oh. Anyway, I was fascinated with television, and I knew that I always wanted to know what made it work. How did it happen? And as I got older, I wanted to know all of the elements that it took to put a show together. What made a show? How was it produced? Who directed it? Who put everything together? And I got more and more involved and more interested. You asked me about Monty Hall. I was going to UCLA in the film and television school and learning a lot, but I wanted to be hands-on. And Monty was producing and hosting a show called Let's Make a Deal, which is still on the air today. And I took advantage of nepotism.
Yeah, so you're a little bit of a nepo baby. All right, we'll forgive you in this case, all right?
Right. So Monty said, listen, I'll open a door for you, and then you're on your own, which is exactly what he did. He introduced me to a guy who owned a cue card company, and I went to work for him, and he put me on Let's Make a Deal. I started doing cue cards on Let's Make a Deal. And then I moved to the Andy Williams Show, and then I moved to the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. And the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour was, as we all know, a show that really broke the barriers in television.
Yep.
And started to change things. And so from the Smothers Brothers, I got a job as an associate director on the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. And then I got my first network primetime weekly television series on Tony Orlando and Don. I just kept moving up. I wanted to get to the Academy Awards. That was my dream. That was my goal. I wanted to know, at a very young age, I wanted to know how it all happened. Who made the decisions? What decisions needed to be made? Who put what together? And as I learned, I knew that I wanted to direct, and then I wanted to produce. And I got there. I kept pushing. You have to have the talent to make it all happen. And I did have the talent.
Jeff, did you ever want to be in front of the camera, or did you always want to be behind it?
I always wanted to be behind.
Interesting.
I always wanted to be behind.
Huh. That's really interesting, because so much of ego is normally, hey, you wanted to be the star. You did star, but you starred in a different way. By the way, there's one story that just cracked me up. I was telling my wife about this yesterday, because I've been reading your book, and it's Live in Five by Jeff Margolis, who's one of the most successful live TV event and variety special directors of all time. You got to tell everybody about how you ended up getting Cher's birthday present one year. You know, the Mercedes 280 SL. You got to tell me about that.
Well, I always dreamed about owning a 280 SL. Once Mercedes came out with that little car, I thought, oh God, one day I got to have one of those.
They're beautiful, yeah.
So to make a long story very short, it was Cher. I was working on the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. It was Cher's birthday. Cher wanted a 280 SL for her birthday, and she expected Sonny to buy one for her. And she came on her birthday, and she looked at her parking spot in the lot, in the artist parking lot, and there was nothing there. And we were in the rehearsal hall rehearsing for the show, and the lunch break came, and Cher still didn't have her birthday present. So she said to me, she said, I might be back a little late from lunch. I'm going to buy myself a car. She drove up to Hollywood Mercedes, which doesn't exist anymore, but she left CBS and she drove up to Hollywood Mercedes and she bought herself a 280 SL and she drove it back to the CBS artist parking lot. And as she drove into her parking space, there was a 280 SL in her parking space with a big ribbon around it and a card from Sonny, which said happy birthday. So now she had, whoops, there were two 280 SLs there. She had two of them. So I was very friendly with Sonny and Cher's manager. His name was Dennis. And I said to Dennis, what's Sonny going to do now? And Dennis said, I don't know. I said, man, I've always dreamed about having one of those cars. I wish I could have a car like that. I said, Cher's really lucky. And now she's got two of them. And I said, well, one of these days I'll have one. And Dennis called me about an hour later on the phone. He said, why don't you come to Sonny's office? We want to talk to you. And so I went up there, and Sonny said to me, hey, I hear you love 280 SLs. You've always wanted one. He said, I'm stuck with two of them now. You want to buy one? I said, oh, I can't afford. I couldn't possibly afford to buy one. Not yet. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
He says, well, how much money you got? So I said, I really don't have any. I could, you know, like make monthly payments or something. He said, well, how much could you pay a month? So I told him what I thought I could pay. And he said, okay, you got a deal. Give me your first payment now and I'll give you the keys.
And that's all there was to
it,
huh?
I had a 280.
So Sonny ended up not taking loss. You know, what I found interesting about this, and one of the most interesting aspects of this, is that you don't really say a lot of bad things about anybody, but that seems to be your ethos, the way you operated, in which you had an uncanny knack of working with difficult personalities. Would that be a fair assessment of it, really?
A very fair assessment, yes. And, you know, if you look at the back of the book, I have 11 rules of the road. And the first rule is to be kind. The fifth rule is to be kind. And the 11th rule is to be kind.
Yeah.
And I think that, there's no reason to ever raise your voice or yell or scream, or there's just no reason for it. You get so much more from people when you're kind. And when you understand the egos of the talent that you're working with, a lot of them it's very difficult for them to be in front of the camera and to perform and to do it well. And they're insecure about it, and they try really hard to be as good as they can. And so my job as a director, as a producer-director, but especially as a director, was to make their lives as easy as possible and make them look and sound as good as I could make them look and sound and give them what they needed to make them happy.
And you were very successful at it. Jeff Margolis, it is a great read. Some of the most fun I've had reading a book here for a long time. We're Live in Five is the name of it. I'll get the information up. Jeff, thank you so much. You have other people, but thank you so much for coming on for a few, all right? Sharing some of these great stories. You be well.
My pleasure. All right. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you, too. 7:30 at KMED, KCMD. Mr. Outdoors will join me here, too, in a few minutes. Jeff Margolis, once again, and I'll get all the information up on KMED.com a little bit later, but live in Five. It's kind of like, you know, the way the producers and the directors will go, okay, we're going to be live in 5, 4, 3, 2, you know, great stories. Great stories about the golden age of television. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Purchase a new Wayne Dalton garage door and genie opener and get $150 cash back at American Industrial Door. Now through April, choose a Wayne Dalton steel door including modern, traditional, and carriage house styles and get $100 cash back, then pair it with a genie opener for another $50 cash back. American Industrial Door will help you find the perfect mix of style and functionality to replace your old door. See the possibilities at American Industrial Door showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue in Central Point and in Grants Pass on Union Avenue.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation. KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning. I'm Marcus Villa with your NBC5 Morning News Update. State Representative Pam Marsh held a town hall in Ashland Saturday to go over the short legislative session. It was held at the Rogue Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Church. Marsh focused on the housing package and the recriminalization of drug use in House Bill 4002. Marsh said while she voted for the bill, she still has some concerns about the deflection program being optional for counties, which is the option for drug users to seek treatment versus jail time. UCAN and Southern Oregon Goodwill held an event in Josephine County Friday to show the realities of what it's like living in poverty. The Community Action Poverty Simulation had the participants work, pay bills, and care for families while living with an extremely low income. Program manager Eric Wood said this simulation helps broaden perspectives and create empathy for the community. Wood said they have given simulations at high school and colleges as well, especially to students interested in nursing or social services. Sunday, the So Humane Society in Medford held its 7th annual kitten shower. It's an event where the shelter accepts donations from the community that are essentials for taking care of kittens. It's also an event where people are urged to foster and adopt their available kittens. So Humane says staff say this time of year, cats have an abundance of kittens in a litter. To find out more about how you can foster or adopt kittens from So Humane, go to sohumane.org. And for NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Villa. Have a great start to your week.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of four Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on five styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on three styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware, their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Hi, I'm Lamont from Orleans, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
735, Mr. Outdoors is back. This, I guess it's kind of like it's been fall spring everywhere you go, and isn't that right, Mr. Outdoors? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It was amazing over in Klamath this weekend. I mean, being over there in shorts, not being the least bit cold, even in the morning.
Yep.
As delightful as of weather, I'm searching for the term, the most delightful weather you will see, and especially to time it out and have it hit on a weekend. Well, you know, I think everybody will definitely enjoy that. When we make our next transition, though, just in time to ruin next weekend, and, you know, but...
Oh, well, all right. Yeah, hang on just a second. Why don't you give that to me? I want to make sure we talk about our sponsor here, too. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Medford. And that, of course, happy sponsor of the Outdoor Report with Greg Roberts from worldweather.com. So you were at Klamath, and you had something you were telling me about. We'll get back. Why don't you give me the good news about transitioning back to kind of a wintery thing in just a few days, though, right? And that's what we're looking for.
Well, right? And it's going to seem like winter, but in reality, as we look at it, it's probably more quintessential March-type weather than it would be winter because, you know, we get our temperatures back to where they should be. Like today, is absolutely here in Medford. We're projected to get up close to 80 today.
Really?
And this would be a perfect average May day.
Mm.
So a day in May would be something more like this.
You know, the plants in my yard that have really enjoyed this this pop of early spring have been what is it called? The popweed, the hairy bittercress, I think is what that's called.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen such crops of the popweed everywhere. I'm looking right now. Yikes.
Yeah, no, and, you know, just even being gone. Well, I headed over to Klamath Friday morning and then coming back yesterday. The amount of bloom out, the amount of budding on vegetation, it was pretty remarkable. And I started driving down the road with the windows down and picking up on all the various fragrances out there. So bees working. Bees were actually working over in Klamath, too, which, you know, normally at this time of the year, bees are still pretty dormant east of the Cascades. But, nope, they were up and active. And so, you know, all the signs of spring were out in abundance, including gray diggers almost everywhere you looked, it seemed, in Klamath.
All right. What about then when we flip over, and I guess we could see some rain coming back in Wednesday night into Thursday, but the real change is for this coming weekend, right? Just to kind of set the table for us.
That chance on Wednesday night and Thursday, honestly, for as strong as the ridge is, I truly don't think that rain chance is going to make it down here. Mm-hmm. I would expect it gets into Douglas County, and that's as far south as it's going to get. I think Umpqua Divide is going to wind up being enough of a barrier to keep Jackson and Josephine counties dry. But by the time we reach Friday night and definitely next weekend, no, we're going to have rain around. Now, will that be rain or will it be showers? Well, still working that part out. Snow levels are going to be coming way back down. You know, today, actually, a snow level's probably going to be running 9,000, 10,000 feet. And then by the time we get to the end of the week and next weekend, we're looking at snow levels somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 feet.
So we could be seeing additions then to the snowpack in the higher hills then, mountain passes and such.
Just the way it lays out right now and looks, it's not going to be big amounts, but, you know, it's going to be snowing definitely. So that'll give you an idea how cool the air mass will be coming in.
All right, very good. And is that going to maintain for a week or two? What's the long range looking like right now as we head into, because we're going to be, first day of spring in the next day or two, right?
No, this is going to be one of these sustaining things. And, you know, I remember, what was it? It may have even been last Monday I was talking about, you know, we're looking at this longer range, you know, out to 4 weeks. And everything was, at that point, was above normal temps and dry. Well, now we're understanding why it looked the way it did, because this warm spell that we've been going through so spiked everything, it overweighted it to the front side. And now that we're clearing through that and we're looking ahead, now all of a sudden here we are back to, you know, below average, not significantly below, but below average temps expected with wetter than average conditions expected. So, you know, it's just the way things swing and turn. And, yeah, it's that transition time of the year again for us. Spring is, fall is. You will get these things happening. But, you know, hey, I think on the whole, after what happened with January, February, and, you know, into the first part of this month, how it set us up for water and snow, I think we're great regardless. And
good.
Definitely got to look at some things going to Klamath and then coming back. Our water situation does indeed look really good. So that's kind of the encouraging part.
All right, Mr. Outdoors with me, Greg Roberts from RogueWeather.com. Let me grab line one and see if they have a question for you. Hi, did you have a question for Mr. Outdoors, by the way?
Yeah, Mr. Outdoors, in your symposium, does anybody ever ask about the Kushtaka or the Kushtaka?
Yeah, that came up at our town hall in Klamath. And it was with somebody who actually had an experience of their own, which, by the way, that was a first for us. We didn't have huge numbers of people, 15, 16 is what I counted.
This is at your Bigfoot Summit that you had at the Klamath Outdoor Show.
Klamath,
right?
Saturday evening. But every single person who showed up had an encounter. That was a first for us. And Scott Volette from Squatch America told me, I was shocked. He goes, we had people coming by the booth and telling stories. He goes, I had no idea there was that much Bigfoot activity down here. Now, back to what the caller was saying, one of those people was talking about encountering a far more aggressive bipedal something that they were talking about. It had appeared almost like it had woven sticks, other material into it, and that it definitely was doing a lot of more sinister growling and sounded like almost teeth gnashing. And he said, and I started researching, and he said, I came across the Kushtaka descriptions from Alaska, and he goes, that seemed to be far more like what I encountered.
Have you ever encountered that caller, the Kushtaka?
No, but I feared it as a child. I guess they must have, that's what they scare little kids with. Do your Yes. Do your homework or the Kushtaka will get you.
Oh, really?
Well, okay. In Alaska, that is something they actually do with their kids up there. The Kushtaka, to keep kids from wandering off into the forest, which you're far more likely in Alaska to encounter things like bears and wolves and things like that. I think the Kushtaka stories really help keep kids, okay, it's getting dark, I want to be home and inside. But
right.
There is other indications from stories people have reported that there is a different level of activity, you know, reported with actual Kushtaka incidents. You know, I've always said these things seem to almost have temperaments. And some of them are really kind of nice and easygoing, and some of them are really ornery. And we did hear more reports of that family group in northeastern Jackson County that frequent the Prospect Union Creek area. We heard more stories about them behaving in a really surly fashion towards humans. So, I think you do have those individuals out there that are really hostile, and you don't have to do anything really to provoke that. It just have it.
Just is. All right, Mr. Kushtaka caller, thank you very much for checking in there. I'm going to go to line three. Did you have a question for Greg or comment? Who's this?
Hey, my name's Brad. I'm a big fan of Brad.
Oh, you know Brad. Okay. Now.
Yeah. Hey, I really need to know. My understanding is Bigfoot looks like Hillary Clinton.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, that's just a rumor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, she's an entity unto herself, but not Bigfoot. And Bigfoot, no, doesn't look anything
that
like
that would be
her.
Disrespectful to Bigfoot, probably.
All right. Well, you're talking about the darkness of the heart there, Brad. Okay, thanks for the call, okay? But anyway, so it was a good turnout with that meeting because everybody that was at that seminar, your little meeting about that, actually had the experience, which I'm sure was different from many of your others, right?
Well, it was, but, you know, again, Scott from Squatch America was very surprised by it. I actually wasn't.
Okay.
That did not surprise me at all. I knew the history in Klamath County of encounters with Bigfoot. I mean, Klamath County, that's where I had my first encounter in Sky Lakes. I was in Klamath County. So knowing that's been going on, my one regret was I was not able to get in contact with the Confederated Tribes of the Klamath. Sorry, I'm adjusting. I mean, my body, I got used to being over in Klamath, and now I come over here and, you know.
Oh, yeah, the congestion kicks back in. We get it. I get that right now. You know, Mr. Outdoors, I appreciate you talking a little bit about that. By the way, I'll grab one more call. I don't know if it's for you or not, but, you know, you start talking about the Sasquatch and people get intrigued. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Jeff?
Good morning. Tom here. Hey, Greg, I was wondering, are you in communication with Michael Ruge down in Santa Cruz County with the Bigfoot Museum?
Communication with him, no, but I know of him. I know who he is. I've met him once. I was trying to make sure on the number, and yeah, I have met Michael.
Yeah, I just happened to come across yesterday an interview with him and Art Bell, and it's a two-hour long bet. And I used to live right next door to him, and I knew his orientation that way, but I never had a full-on discussion with him about it, and it was really fascinating to listen to that story. But I think it'd be I'm going to try to reach out to him and have him reach out to you because I think you guys have a lot in common that way. It would be really interesting to hear the two of you go back and forth on it.
Yeah, that would be really interesting indeed.
On the horizon.
Yeah.
I would definitely love to do that. Michael has that Bigfoot Museum down there that my buddy Cliff Berrickman, who started North American Bigfoot Center in Boring, gives Michael a lot of credit as an inspiration for him to do what he's done now.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call.
You
okay.
Bet.
All right. And get that information. Happy to pass that along. Hey, Greg, I wanted to just touch in on that. Of all the areas that you and others have been studying this for a long, long time, what are the hotspots in Jackson and or Josephine County? Are there any that people know about? You're saying, yep, up there is where people have had more sightings than others, or are they just kind of all over?
In Josephine County, it's an all-over thing.
Really? Okay. So it's not really the caveman. It shouldn't be the caveman city. It should be the Bigfoot,
well,
right?
I mean, honestly, you know, I can see where the caveman thing, part of what may have fueled that may have been Bigfoot encounters. And,
uh-huh.
You know, before 1958 and suddenly the name Bigfoot was born, we know they were called a lot of different things all over the United States. So the hairy caveman,
mm-hmm.
that might have something to help do with it. I mean, I know the full story of why the caveman thing came out in Josephine County, but is it also possible that the Bigfoot encounters over there help fuel some of that? It probably is. In Jackson County, your big key is going to be more getting out to the rural areas. Josephine County, when I say the whole county, I'm also going to include Grants Pass in that because the New Hope Road area in Grants Pass,
oh.
which most people would consider being in town,
yeah.
New Hope Road area has a lot of reported Bigfoot encounters, especially in the winter.
Interesting. New Hope
and that
Road
still goes on to this day.
Now, is the New Hope Road is that the one that's on the way to like Wilderville, that particular area?
Well, it actually, yeah, New Hope Road. It's a fairly lengthy road. One end of it is on the Williams Highway, and the other end of it comes out on Redwood Highway.
Got it. Okay.
So
all right.
It's got some length to it. My most recent report from New Hope Road goes back to 2017. And I just don't know if it's a case that people haven't gotten in touch with me. There could be, I suspect there may be, still continuing activity in that New Hope Road area going on right now. But I just haven't heard about it yet. But when it comes to Jackson County, the key is getting off the valley floor areas. But you don't even really have to get that far off the valley floors. I get reports out of the Lake Creek area. I've had reports, you know, some people will say, well, I live in Eagle Point, but you're actually about 10 miles up the Butte Falls Highway.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you know anything about that area at all, I would say where the old Midway store location on Butte Falls Highway was, from there on out, definitely the Prospect Union Creek areas, a lot of activity there. But then also over up above Sam's Valley, the Long Branch going over into the West Fork, dropping into the Highway 227 and the Umpqua Divide area, a lot of activity there. We are blessed. Oh, and of course, then you got the Applegate Valley, which is a source of reports constantly. So we're really blessed to live in an area with a really high population density of them. I got this question asked in Klamath Falls, how many family groups do you think are in the area? And I said, well, just for my area in Jackson County that I'm aware of, I've got at least 8 that I have a pretty good idea that we've got these different family groups and where exactly they roam, you know. Well, kind of have to be them to know. But based on what we know and the clusters, it looks like we probably have 8 family groups living here in Jackson County spread around through the Cascades and the Siskiyous. Why do we have that many? Abundance of food.
All right. Very good. Mr. Outdoors with me, Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Well, you know, the one thing, we want to keep their addresses secret. You know, because if the Bigfoot addresses were to get out, the Democrats will try to get them all signed up on Motor Voter, okay?
Yeah, and... Well, now that's an interesting one to ponder.
Hey, I just got to have a little fun with you, all right? Hey, Greg.
No kidding. Well, and then, of course, everybody knew I was doing a Bigfoot town hall, friends and stuff, and I got besieged with stuff all weekend. And one of the funniest things of all is those lawyer billboards, have you had an accident, blah, 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 blah.
Right, yeah.
Well, somebody made up one of those that said, have you had a Bigfoot attack? You may be entitled to compensation. I started dying laughing.
Oh, that
I was like, yeah, that one's pretty awesome. I'm going to post that one today on my Bigfoot blog. That one had me truly rolling when I saw it. That was great.
All right. Greg, once again, over at RogueWeather.com, Greg Roberts. Hey, before we take off, is there any outdoor activity we should be getting in before the big rain and the return to more normal temperatures hits? Anything that's grabbing you right now? Maybe some fishing or something else? What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to think, and, you know, the only one that really comes to mind is in the skiing snowboarding world, we definitely have what we call our sunbirds, and these are people who pretty much only want to go if it's really nice and it's not going to be stormy and windy and cold and freezing. Today's your last opportunity that I can tell you for a certainty. Get to Mount Ashland. You're going to have those kind of conditions. By the time we hit Thursday when they reopen again, maybe not.
So okay.
If you're that sun, if you're what I call my sunbird on the slopes, today's the day you want to hit it.
All right. Will do. Mr. Outdoors here, RogueWeather.com. Greg Roberts there. We appreciate you coming on. Outdoor Report, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Medford. And you are back to your normal time this coming Friday. We'll do it again, 7:15 or 7:10.
You got
okay?
it, Bill.
All
Talk
right.
to you then.
Thank you, Greg. Get back to the normal Friday reports heading into the weekend, okay? And at that point, we'll probably have an idea of how the weather and the return to late winter, early spring is going to really look. 7:54 and change. This is KMED, KCMD. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh, yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like 3-0.
Oh, wait, I didn't know this was a competition.
Composite. Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
You know a doorless Tobin's Buzz we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you're
our friend. Lamont here from Orly Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orly Stoves and Spas. Orly's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orly's has everything you need. We are fully stocked on splash around above ground pools and accessories. Orly's is Southern Oregon's largest cow spa dealer with over 55 spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orly's Soaps and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford, 541-779-5340.
When you hire a contractor, the last worry you should have is, are they capable enough to handle the job? A well drilling contractor is no different, especially with tough drilling conditions Southern Oregon can encompass. Clouser Drilling invests in capable machinery, tooling, and personnel equipped to handle these conditions. They operate 4 modern rotary drill rigs with capabilities from air rotary, mud rotary, and drill and drive casing advancement systems. Combine this with over 50 years and thousands of wells drilled, and worry no more. Contact Clouser Drilling or visit Clouser Drilling.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
7:57. Man, it was a beautiful weekend, wasn't it? Like I said, next weekend, not so beautiful, so I hope you had a chance to get outside. Of course, most of the time I was outside was spent mowing and weeding again, and I've come to the conclusion that the reason why it is so expensive to hire people for mowing and weeding is because it's worth it. You know, it's kind of like the old joke about the Jewish divorce. You know, why is a Jewish divorce so expensive? Because it's worth it. You know, that kind of thing. I should have, you know, Jeff Margolis probably would have laughed at that one. He would have got it. Let's talk with Deb. How you doing, Deb? What's on your mind today, huh? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bill. I just want to share a quick experience that we had over the weekend. Mm-hmm. took my grandson to McDonald's, and he's 8 years old, learning to read, struggling a little bit, and likes to read all kinds of little things and ask questions when he needs to. And he showed me the cup that he was drinking out of. It had an upside-down M on it, and the lettering on the side was in Chinese.
Oh, so the lettering on the McDonald's cup was Chinese? Really?
Yeah, yeah. The M itself was upside down with a little something on the side of it, and it was in Chinese, and I looked all over that cup for something in English to try to just change it. And
yeah, well, I wonder if it wasn't really an upside down M or if the printing was upside down on the cup, and so, you know, you just had to flip the cup upside down to read that. That was Chinese lettering. Is that that's kind of odd, isn't it? Do you think
it is? It's odd. It's unacceptable. And regardless whether no matter what direction I turned it, it's all I could do to keep it together until I could get away to pray it away. You know, but I just told him it was a misprint. It's nothing but a misprint.
Well, that wasn't.
I left the house late this morning and needed some food on the go. But I won't be going there. It is time that we call BS in the USA.
Really? Because of Chinese printing, huh?
I believe so, yeah.
Huh.
Well, you know, and if they're going to do that, put it in both languages on the cup.
Yeah.
That is literally all that was on the cup. And
so it was strictly.
I know I personally won't tolerate it again.
Oh, you won't? Okay. Now, have you divested yourself of so many other things, because it's like China is the supply chain, you know, right now for so much of the United States.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I've accepted that, but mm-hmm. I will no longer put it in front of myself and definitely not my grandchildren
okay.
who are struggling to even learn to read, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I guess the impression from the McDonald's cup is that you better learn Mandarin, huh?
Don't know. I didn't give it the time of day.
Okay.
It was a misprint. It went in the trash, and another dollar will never go there.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for providing a platform for my voice today. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you sound really affected by that. I'm kind of surprised that it affected you so deeply.
It does. I'm not surprised. You know, what do you tell a little one who's just like trying to learn to read, you know?
Yeah. As if there isn't enough challenge.
You know? Exactly.
All right. Appreciate the call, Deb. Thanks for making that. All right. It's 8 o'clock. All right. You're very upset. I'm trying to think. Anybody else have anything like that? Just all Chinese writing on that? Of course, I don't know if that's something standard, because if I understand correctly. The cups come from the McDonald's Corporation. You get everything. If you're a franchisee, it's not the franchisee's take. You have to buy it from them. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I'm thinking about popping over there and seeing if that is true, if that was a one-off, or maybe they were just out of the American-printed cups. It could be. Could be a possibility. I'm trying to look on the positive potentially, you know, because they're having shortages of other things. There may be a perfectly fine explanation other than the fact that get ready to have the cup for your future master, Yankee boy. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but anyway, I'll go to line one. Hi, who's this? Good morning. KMED, KCMD.
Yeah, hey, this is Alan the Applegate.
Hi, Al.
Hey, I have a couple of really funny pictures in my phone that I took in Chengdu, China. Oh, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. We went into a McDonald's, and in English on the wall they had a sign that said burger, delicious burger, R-U-R-G-E-R. They couldn't even spell burger; they spelled burger.
Burger.
And then another one that says delicious or creamy sandfe, S-A-N-D-F-E, rather than Sunday, they spelled out the word sandfe. But nobody in China knows what it says. They just assume it says something interesting in English, and they just, you know, go about their way. So,
all right. So maybe the McDonald's Corporation plays both sides of it the same way. So we're going to give you a confusing Chinese printed cup in the United States, and then we have bastardized English in China. Okay. Now I'm really confused about the whole thing.
It's a round world.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait a minute. Now you've done it. You said it's a round world. Do you know how many people?
It's a round world. It's what goes around comes around.
Oh, okay. No, because, hey, listen, you wouldn't believe the number of people who write me about flat earth and continue to insist. So there we go. And a lot of people are into that. So it's not necessary. You know, the world is whatever we say it is. It's kind of like transgenderism. Okay, Al?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. 3 after 8.